A reading from the book of Sirach. Rely not on your wealth. Say not, I have the power. Rely not on your strength in following the desires of your heart. Say not, who can prevail against me? Or who will subdue me for my deeds? For God will surely exact the punishment. Say not, I have sinned, yet what has befallen me? For the Most High bides his time. Of forgiveness he is not overconfident, adding sin upon sin. Say not, great is his mercy. My many sins he will forgive. For mercy and anger alike are with him. Upon the wicked alights his wrath. Delay not your conversion to the Lord. Put it not off from day to day. For suddenly his wrath flames forth. At the time of visions, you will be destroyed. Rely not upon deceitful wrath, for it will be no help on the day of wrath. Verbum Domini. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Blessed a man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord, and meditates on his law day and night. He is like a tree planted near running water, that yields its fruit in due season, and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes.
Blessed are they who hope in the
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink, because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt becomes insipid, with what will you restore its flavor? Keep salt in yourselves, and you will have peace with one another. Verbum Domini.
The message of today's scriptural passages is rather direct, even blunt, and certainly sobering. First, the sacred author of the Book of Sirach, who lived just short of two centuries before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, warns us that we don't want to let power, wealth, or even human strength, health, become an obstacle to our relationship with God, become a competitive God in our lives. And then we hear in the gospel passage, the Lord Jesus saying that even our bodies, good as they are from creation and redeemed by the Lord Jesus, even our bodies are a member of our body that leads us into sinful pleasures, that in turn encourages others to sin, would be better lost than kept. Those are blunt words that God offers us today. But can we rephrase that message in a way that touches not only the mind, but the human heart? If we embrace the Lord first and foremost, then every other relationship to people, even those closest to us in our families, everything that we have, whether natural gifts or physical things we've accumulated, and even our relationship with our own ego, begins to fall better into place. I hope you remember that expression of the call to discipleship that is contained in St. Luke's Gospel. Unless you love me, Jesus says, more than mother, father, son, daughter, possessions, even life itself, you're not worthy to be my disciple. The Lord invites us to recognize that if he comes first, then every relationship to other people, to things, material things in this life, and then also our own selfish inclinations and desires can better fall into place. It takes three to get married. It takes three to parent. Not just spouses, but God as the fundamental principle of that love. Before I was ordained, I was invited to enter into a celibate commitment of myself to the Lord. Why? So that I too would make sure that the Lord is going to be my central love before accepting the charge and responsibilities of holy order. Now, this love of the Lord above all other loves doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen just in response to an altar call. It's a love that needs to be nurtured every day. I begin my day spending an hour with the Lord, precisely in the hope that during the day I will recognize how God sees things, loves things, and calls me to respond. You know, the church today not only presents us with that saving and sanctifying word, but also with a live witness. I don't know whether you are that familiar with Gregory, Saint Gregory of Narek, who lived and died right around the turn of the first millennium. He grew up in southeastern modern-day Turkey. It was Asia Minor at that time. In the town of Narek, lived out his whole life. Born into a family that was deeply believing and practicing Christian faith. And it was almost natural, really supernatural call that invited him to enter the monastery in his own hometown. And he lived out his life there. His love of the Lord led him to use the gifts that he had for writing and sharing with others the fruit of prayer to enter into a very extensive commentary, first of all, on the Song of Songs, pointing out how all of the physical imagery contained in there is really symbolic of God's overture of love reaching out to us, inviting us to a parallel response or a corresponding response. We can never respond to him as he gives himself to us. But we can grow in that. And you know, in addition to that, he composed 95 extended poetic prayers covering the whole gamut of belief, Christian belief. His insight was, better than prose writing, poetic writing not only invites insight, but also a sense of the transcendence that can never be grasped by any human words. So it's better to use words in a symbolic way, inviting not only insight in the mind, but then response from the heart, the deepest recesses of the human soul. I don't know whether you know that Gregory of Narek actually grew up an Orthodox Christian, Armenian Orthodox Christian. And just 10 years ago, Pope Francis, whom we want to keep in prayer these days as he struggles with health, but Pope Francis concelebrated Mass in St. Peter's Basilica with Patriarch Bedros, the Armenian Patriarch, and declared Gregory of Narek to be a universal doctor of the church. Now, to be declared a doctor of the church means that that person, man or woman, has expressed in a blessed way profound insight and rather comprehensive insight into the truths of Revelation, but also that the person in life has witnessed personally to the truth of what he or she has written. So, Gregory of Narek is a teacher of the faith and an inspirer of living the faith. So as we continue now with the celebration of this Eucharist, the most sacred of all mysteries of faith, the mystery of our redemption, is about to take place, be made present on this altar as bread and wine become the body and blood of the Lord, and his self-gift, the Lord Jesus, Son of the Father, his self-gift to the Father for your redemption and for mine, will be made present in the hopes that we today can turn our lives a little bit more over to him. And in union with him, accept the Father's saving grace and love and respond to the best of our freedom and ability. And grace of all graces, those of us who are here present will be able to partake in Holy Communion of that Lord Jesus whom we're called to love above all. And those of you who participate in your own homes or wherever. I invite to a spiritual communion with the Lord, so that when you do have the opportunity to receive the Lord in the sacrament, you'll be disposed interiorly, eager to meet him, to welcome him, to let him take over your life. Saint Gregory of Narek, pray for us.